Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
Date Me. It's a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though if I fly back from a long weekend of doing shows and you say you're going to pick me up and then you don't, I'll just take a Lyft and pretend like it never happened when we get home. My guest today, you know her, you love her. She created two broke girls, had her own show, Whitney. You've had 4-hour specials? 5 specials? 4-hour-long specials.
Don't forget that I was on Roseanne.
Yes.
I want everyone to know about that.
You wrote on Roseanne and you were on Roseanne?
No, I EP'd Roseanne.
Yes. Before she went cray-cray.
I mean, it seems like she went cray-cray way before. I just didn't really know. We all knew, I guess, on some level. Like, mm-hmm. Didn't it when you started comedy, it was sort of like, you mm-hmm. heard the stories, and I think that it, I mean, if this, you don't have to talk about this if this is boring.
No.
Okay.
I think, but I should say your name. You're Whitney Cummings.
I mean, small detail. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like the timeline is very blurry. Mm-hmm. The weirdest part about the whole thing is that I wasn't following her on Twitter. I probably should have been. Because apparently there was some sort of sketchy tweets a couple mm-hmm. years ago. But I think that it's weird because it seems like and I don't like to use the word crazy about women. Mm-hmm. I genuinely don't like that word very much because there's also like mentally ill.
Oh, yeah.
And crazy get conflated sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think we throw the word crazy at women a lot. Psycho, mm-hmm. thrown at horror. It's in that, all under the same umbrella. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it was, I think that when you hear someone's crazy for so long, for some reason I get on, I'm like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. She was a woman in the 90s.
Yeah, and that shit's hard.
Chicken and egg. Because I heard mm-hmm. all these stories about like, you know, how she would, like she wouldn't say this line and, you know, she wouldn't say a line, the writers were. I'm like, I've been in that situation mm-hmm. where I'm not Roseanne and I was never as famous as Roseanne. And I think she's one of the funniest people ever. Like she was probably just she'd been doing stand up for 20 years, mm-hmm. was the funniest person in the room. And she was probably getting corny jokes and didn't want to say them.
And then also writers don't seem to understand a lot of the time. It's my face.
That's correct.
I'm the one saying it.
That's correct.
Yes, you have a writing credit, but it's me who's associated with this line that maybe isn't funny or might be slightly offensive or whatever.
Correct.
And yeah.
So people don't walk down the street and go, Nicole, I know you didn't write that that one thing. They think that you wrote it, produced it, directed it, set decorated it, wardrobed it, because it's your name.
Because they'll be like, why did this happen? You're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
And everyone's in a rush and they want you to say the line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think her especially, she's very specific about not emasculating Dan too much. She also didn't want to self-deprecate too much. Like, she wanted to be in control of her image and she didn't want to do fat jokes. And she, you know, so I sort of was like, well, maybe she was in a situation where, you know, at a time where all women were called crazy if they had any kind of boundaries or self-respect or dignity. But she then she was also using, you know. So it's also, I think that, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, I have so much drug addiction in my family. I try not to hold people accountable for their behavior when they're doing eight balls.
Yeah. And then it's funny that you talk about like all the shit she had to go through. And it's like, yeah, maybe she hit a breaking point. I keep wondering when I'm going to break because people really love to yell at me during shows.
What's up
with
this?
Does that happen to you at all?
I feel I've given this thought actually. Because I obviously follow you on Twitter. I listen to your podcast. You know, I'm just a fan, frankly.
Oh, you're the best.
And I have questions about this. And this is not a, but you were wearing a mini skirt. Do you, what happens when they yell at you?
So this weekend was a pretty good example of like, what I usually do. So I was at the Parks Casino in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. Great venue.
Great
room. I had a blast. And this girl yelled something at me. And I don't remember. Oh, it was something. I said I wanted a boyfriend. She was like, take mine. And I was like, oh, you're just, you came to a show to give away your man or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, also we're going to Mexico. Let's go on vacation. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then I finally was like, we wrapped up the interruption and it was fine.
Yeah.
And then she DM'd me later and she said, ugh, all I really wanted was for you to roast me. What a perfect show.
People think they want you to roast them. I get this all the time. Roast me, roast me.
Yes.
No, I will destroy your perception of yourself forever. You want me to roast you on your terms and say the things you
want. It's like cute, fun, and nice. And at one point she did look like she was going to cry. And I was like, are you going to cry? Because I don't care. If you do, I don't. I will not care. And then, so I DM'd her back and I was like, so you interrupted my show on purpose to get a response from me. That's really gross. And then she apologized and then I didn't answer because I was like, ugh, I hate this. And then I was in New York the next day and I was starting a joke about how I broke a toilet and I was like, I injured myself in Chicago and this girl yelled at me, on the pole! And I said, what? She was like, we see you pole dancing, girl. And I was like, no, I didn't. Do you want attention? Okay, let's give it to you.
Yeah.
And then midway through her like starting to answer one of my questions, I was like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't like you. I fundamentally really don't like you. And I was like, you can go. So I like asked her to leave. And then the audience did chant at her to get up and go.
Yeah, that happens a lot now, I feel
which, like. Which was like, it didn't feel great to have a whole audience chanting at this woman, but I was like, at least these people are on my side that you were interrupting.
Yeah.
And then on Twitter, someone was like, she didn't deserve that embarrassment. And I was like, okay, so there's no winning. There's if you.
Well, I'm hearing a couple things. I'm hearing that people love you and know your work.
Yes.
This is great news. Yes.
Very kind.
Very kind. These are people that know you inside and out. Because I was thinking about it, because I used to do the roast a lot and I had to stop and I'm always tempted to go back and I'm sure I will at some point if it's someone I know or, you know. Or that woman, if we end up getting her a Comedy Central roast, because that's what she wants.
Yes, that's all she wants.
I think
she
Comedy Central would love to have her be the roast.
The roast is Sophia from Ben Salem, Pennsylvania.
The numbers speak for themselves. Because I see you tweeting about it, and I'm kind of, I kind of was like, I wonder if people, because she tweets about it, are doing it more. Because when I did the roast, I would have people like, at 2:30 on a Tuesday, be like, hey, cunt. And I'd be and I'd be like, oh, and it would go on. And I was like, oh, I think because I do the roast, you guys think you have permission to talk to me this way. Because I would get in arguments with people about it. I'd be like, don't talk to me that way. We're in the food court in the Denver airport. It's 2:30. like classic. And then I was like, oh, and then so I had to kind of stop doing the roast and then it started. But you shouldn't have to change the way you behave.
In the beginning of the show, I let them yell "nailed it" at me or anything else they'd like to yell. And I'm like, this is the time.
Yeah.
And I say, you don't have to say anything else.
Yeah.
If you think the "nailed it," I'll feel it or whatever. Because
it is people that just want to engage. So two things have helped me with the yelling out. I don't get it as much anymore because when someone does it, I engage with them and then stop. And then I make eye contact with them if they keep going. Like, because there is something very alpha about making eye contact with the person. It's sort of embarrassing. If they're drunk, there's really nothing you can do. And I always tell the staff ahead of time, if it's clear I'm done engaging with the person and they speak again, you have to go and tell them that they have to leave if they do it again. So I tell the staff to be on high alert always. But I also will do because I think people always try to take photos during shows now. So I do this whole speech in the beginning that's like, if you want to talk to me, you could do it at the end. If you want to take a picture with me, you can do it at the end. You're going to get everything you want out of this exchange. Because I know seeing me do stand-up is like the fourth thing on your list. I know you want the photo and to yell at me and to give me some like thing you made. Like, I know that stand-up is the last thing you want to see right now at this stand-up venue. I know that you have to suffer through these jokes to get to your selfie. I realize this is a punishment for you. But, and I do think podcasts, people feel so close to us now.
Yes.
So I think sometimes it helps. And Steve-O does this, I think, too. He shows a video in the beginning where he says, like, something up, please don't take photos, please don't record, please don't yell at me, here's why. It's like a whole, I think we just have to start, like,
I mean,
explaining that.
It is so crazy to me. I love Whoopi Goldberg. I went and saw the revival of Whoopi when she did that in, like, I think 2007 or something. And, like, she got on stage and I almost started crying because I love her so much.
I cried the first time I went on The View.
But, like, you wouldn't dream of being disrespectful to this person that you admire.
I don't think people... I'm not defending these monsters.
Sure.
These animals.
Sure.
But I don't... I truly don't think people are paying money to come see you to hurt your feelings. I think they think you love it. And, you know, I just think that there's a lack of like basic manners that's a little bit of an epidemic. And I think because of social media, because podcasts, people feel so close to you. I mean, people that have listened to your show have spent 80 hours with you.
Yes.
That's my friend Nicole. Like, you know, so this is the same reason people want to buy your merch and they're going to listen to every episode and they're going to come see you. But I just think we have to change the way we change the way we market shows. We change the way we sell tickets. We've changed the way we engage with our audience. We also might have to change the way we perform in terms of a little opening in the beginning saying like, if you yell at me, you do have to go. I do a thing where I say, you just have to go. And it's all not right. personal.
I think I'll start saying that. Because I think right now it's still like, oh, it's fun.
It might be in direct communication because they might go, she loves it. I know everything about her. She loves this. Nailed it. Why would you date? Like, that's all a comedian wants to hear is that we're fans, you know? So I have started doing like book signings after, meet and greets after. And then at the very end of the show, I'll do a... like, everyone take your camera out. You can take a selfie. Everyone just take a selfie. I'll stay on stage. You'll take a selfie. I'll record your voicemail. I'll do a video for your uncle or, you know, whatever. And I'll spend, like, 20 minutes on stage kind of trying to talk to as many people as I can.
That's great.
You know, but I think that you... I tried to do that for a long time, too, where I was like, I don't really like this. Please stop. And people were like, she loves it.
I just She's having the blast.
I just had to go like, you can't, we have security, you will be kicked out. And then I think I remember in La Jolla, California, San Diego, always a chatty bunch. And there was a woman who wouldn't stop yelling. And, you know, like 10 years ago, I mean, coming up in the comedy store, 10 years ago, you go like, well, someone put a dick in her mouth and you could kind of yell whatever. But it feels like kind of ooky now.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that people even give a shit and show up that I didn't try to be funny about it. I just was like, hey, I'm so sorry. These people paid for tickets. I will pay your bill, but you have to go. And if you want to come back tomorrow night and try again, I will get you tickets for tomorrow night.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
And it wasn't funny. And it totally made things weird. And it took a second to get back in the groove.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to humiliate you either, you know, because you just humiliated yourself. And I don't. Now I'm the bully. You've done nothing wrong. And you're the bully. But I do say, like, I'll pay for your tickets, I'll pay for your meal, and maybe let's try next time.
That's nice. I like that. This is all very good advice.
But I also, I mean, anyone that like has thoughts on my stand-up, they're always like, you talk so fast on stage. I'm like, yeah, because I don't want anyone to yell.
That's literally, I find that happening to me too, where I'm just going really, really fast and just hoping, because I didn't realize till I did a show in, maybe it was Sacramento, how many of my setups are questions because people started answering
them. That's right. But your staff need to be on this. Mm-hmm. They need to, they, if someone's yelling
everyone
out, they need to tap them on the shoulder.
So slow about it.
No, you have to say something. You, this is where we have to be bitches and go, hey, if someone mm-hmm. is saying anything, and then also your opener should say something too. So mm-hmm. I always have my opener say, I mean, Kevin Christie, bless his heart, Benton, Matt Viola, they have to go, don't yell at her. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to her. Like, they have to do this whole thing. So I remember, yeah, Kevin Christie used to have a really good sort of thing. Please, I know you want to yell at her, because he used to say that within the first 10 minutes of any show, someone either would yell that they love me or that they needed some money or something.
Whoa.
People would be like, can I have some money? Like, borrow money or something. So he did this whole litany of, like, mm-hmm. things your opener should say, things you should not yell. Mm-hmm. At Nicole, like a funny 5-minute thing to end their set before you, while they're introing you.
This is all very helpful.
Not to your fans that are listening. They're like, fuck this bitch. She's silencing us. We're the Nicole army.
No, but like when it happens, a lot of people, when I was in DC, this woman, I was asking a question like, who sends dick pics? And she raised her hand and was pointing at someone. I was like, oh, does this man send you dick pics? And she was like, yes. I was like, are you dating? She was like, no. I was like, okay. And she's like, I went to Malaysia. And I was like, now you're just saying non sequiturs.
Yeah.
What is happening? So then I truly spent so much time talking to her. I was like, I need to get to the bottom of this. To the point where the audience was like, ugh.
Move on. I know. I remember one time I was in Wise Guys, love that club, in Salt Lake City, Utah. And there were these people like talking. And then I would talk to them to try to get them to stop. Mm-hmm. And da-da. And then I was like, you know what? You guys cannot sit together. It was like two couples that, you know, there's always couples mm-hmm. that like have to check in after every joke and go, oh yes. my God, I've done that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're just trying to have a good time, but they
yes.
just, and then I was like, you know what? You guys are going to be separated. You need to go over here. And the whole left side of the club went, no! Like, everyone was just like, fuck this. Like, people pay good money to come see
yeah.
us. And when you guys heckle, I love you, mm-hmm. but when you heckle and you make, there's people that have planned months in advance.
Yes.
They got a babysitter.
Yes.
They valeted. They're spending upwards of $150.
I got
bucks.
On a plane. I listened to a set to remember a button. I'm like, I'm doing the work too. I put on makeup.
I put eyeliner on the inside yeah. of my bottom lid.
Yeah. I tried
drew on my eyebrows.
I combed my hair. I did things.
I put on
to
a
be
thong
here.
For this. I shaved my toes.
It's just so funny that like out of 1,000 people, one will be like, I'll be bad.
But I don't, I don't know. I'm so, some days I vacillate. Some days I'm like, everyone's inherently bad. And other days I'm like, everyone's inherently good.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem insane to me that someone would put on pants, mm-hmm. put on their shoes, pay whatever.
Uh-huh.
When it's all said and done with food, drink.
It's expensive.
It could be $80.
Yes, yeah, a nice
you know,
night out.
On
yeah.
your Friday night, mm-hmm. you know, to come and hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to go ruin her
it
show.
It doesn't hurt me. It just makes me unbelievably angry.
Yeah.
And then I hate being angry on a place. Like I love being on stage and mm-hmm. I love attention.
Yeah.
And I just love performing. And I don't like being angry while I'm doing the thing
yeah.
that I love. I have a question about touring. So when you are touring, well, I know you're in a relationship now, yes?
Yes.
And when you were touring not in a relationship,
yep.
did you ever have chuckle fuckers?
10 years. I never had that. I
feel like that's the answer most women give.
It is so wild to me how repellent a woman talking for 45 minutes
Truly.
To an hour in front of a bunch of people that are paying to see
uh-huh.
it. I've never had a guy flirt with me after a show.
Mm-mm.
I've never had a guy ask me out. In fact, for the last 6 years, the guys I've dated, none of them have come and seen me do stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't allowed them to. The guy I'm with now, he came and saw me perform 2 years into our relationship at my stand-up special taping was the only time.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the basement, didn't get to be in the audience. Because it's tricky. It's it's two-pronged. It's number one, I know, I like to be very beta in my relationships. I'm not an alpha in my relationship. I'm an alpha in my work. I do not want to be an alpha in my relationship. So it's two things. Number one, I don't think the type of guy that I want to date is going to be attracted to me if he sees me do stand-up. And I don't know if I want to date someone who's chasing someone who's in the limelight. You know, I've had I don't know if this is the same thing as a chuckle fucker per se, but I have had guys on dating apps ask me out, pursue me, date me, that I then realized wanted to get into comedy. And that are now, I've dated two guys who were in like different careers, dated me, and now they're stand-ups and I have to see them at comedy clubs.
Yeah, that's,
I'm like, did I make it look so easy? All I did is cry and complain about how hard being a stand-up is.
But I don't think people, when I complain, I feel like that's only like 10% of it. And the other 90% is like, I travel, I get to see the places.
Yeah,
I get to perform to sold out theaters and clubs. And I'm having the time of my life. So I think when you start complaining to like a dude, especially who's like, I won't have those problems. Tell me more about the good stuff.
That's so funny. Yeah.
All that good stuff's going to happen.
I think it's more just the leaving the house at 8 or 9 p.m. when most people are coming home and watching Succession. We're getting in our cars and going to, you know, make strangers laugh for free. I mean, when you're not touring and when you're performing in town. But I also, if I'm going to be honest, which every now and then I try to be, the last couple hours I've toured with have been kind of harsh, not particularly open. Like I'm, you know, I think you're a little more like, date me. You have more of a welcoming. Whereas I've been like, fuck you, I'm not squirting. You know, I don't think I'm giving off the vibe, a very inviting vibe.
I don't know. I think you're rather inviting. I think you're like, a person who is no bullshit. And I feel like that's how you present. And I don't think that's not inviting. But also, I'm a woman watching this. So I think maybe if a man was like, oh, boy, she seems to really hate me. And I don't know if I want to say hello.
I mean, I think a lot of guys would look at me and be like, that feels like a lot of work. That feels exhausting. You know, we see her once a year when she comes to town. That's a doses. That's about,
I couldn't possibly.
That's the perfect amount of her.
Have you dated many stand-ups?
I don't think I've ever dated a comedian, really.
You just said that you've only dated dudes who started doing stand-up after the fact.
And it's jokes on me for laughing at their bad jokes to try to seem warm. You know, because that's what we're taught. We're taught to laugh at guys' jokes that aren't funny so that they don't feel insecure. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, she thinks I'm funny. Whitney thinks I'm funny. I should probably do comedy.
I should get up on that stage.
I'm like, oh, no, I was fake laughing so that you didn't feel emasculated. I haven't laughed in 12 years.
I'm bad at fake laughing at men, but then I know when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like I seem insane because I'm like, because I'm like, through my brain, I'm like, how did you think that was funny? Why did you say it like that?
But
I could have actually made that
comics.
Funny.
I mean, we spend our time with the funniest people in the world. I mean, we're awful to hang out with.
Yeah.
It's like my non-comedian friends will say things that are pretty funny. And I'll just be like, that's funny. And they're like, our funniest friends still aren't funny to us.
Yes. My best friend from high school, my friend Nick, I didn't realize I did this, but I had stopped laughing at things that weren't like uproariously funny. And I would go, ooh, that's very funny. So one day I said something, he went, ooh, that's very funny. And I was like, oh, why are you being so aggressive? He's like, you don't laugh anymore. You just say things.
No, I went numb. That's what I do for a living.
Yes.
It's like, and for me, when I hear something really funny, I'll just, I more just go, fuck, that's funny. And they're like, why are you so upset that I said something funny?
Well, because you're like, why didn't it come out of my mouth?
Yeah. Well, why didn't I think of it, first of all? And so I do think it makes us particularly, we have to be with people that are very secure.
Yes.
But I also, I love dumb, because I see so much amazingly smart comedy, the most brilliant comedians in the world. We see all the time. And I'm at comedy clubs every night. So I like really stupid shit. Like I like when people fall. that's all the basic.
I love
people getting
dumb
hurt.
Humor.
People getting hurt.
The opening, hopefully I'll sell a special next year. And the opening of it, I want it to be, I mean, truly I'm spoiling it by telling people, but I think it'll be funny anyway. I want to do like a pole dancing number and then spin really hard and like fly off the pole.
Please do.
And then have a dummy thrown on stage.
Yes, please.
And then I brush myself off. I'm like, ah.
Please. I had a dummy on stage in my special. Yes. Worked out great.
Your dummy is terrifying. Your robot. Oh, wait, hold on. We have to take a break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. Your robot is, how you say, a nightmare.
It's a living nightmare.
Horrific. terrifying. Because I was at your house and she was just sitting at the table. She was sitting at the table, wigless.
She was wigless. Someone snatched the wig.
So scary. Oh,
She doesn't scare me that much because I had to watch her get built. So it's so, and I also don't think she looks anything like me. Everyone thinks we look exactly alike.
I don't think so. There's a lot of differences.
I'd hope so.
But you both have great cheekbones.
Thank you. She was molded to my face. I mean, I had to go get the mold and sit there for 45 minutes with the cock or the grout or whatever the fuck on my face. But I have learned a lot of fascinating things about our own dysmorphia through having a robot built of myself, besides just the traps of narcissism, you learn that you don't know what you look like.
Yes.
Because we see ourselves in a mirror in all the time. They say that if we saw ourselves on the street, we might not even recognize ourselves.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. So people look at that and they're like, and I'm like, I think.
So maybe I do look like Lizzo. Because I don't think I look like her. And people keep saying I do look like her.
What happens when someone says that?
Oh, I just go, I don't see it. I think we're just like both big black women.
I feel like I should not weigh in on this.
I don't mind. I truly just think it's like we're two big black women and people are like, yeah, you're the same.
That's what I mean. It feels a little like, okay. It's a little.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Yeah. I remember when I was like thin, like really too thin. People were like, you look like Fiona Apple. I'm like, we're both skinny and white. That's not the same thing.
I don't think you look anything like Fiona Apple. Here are two people who look identical and you never hear about it. Natalie Portman and Keira Knightley. I just watched a Star Wars. Menace is coming.
Yeah.
Menace. Thank you, Marissa. The Phantom Menace. And I didn't realize that it wasn't just Natalie Portman over again. It was Keira Knightley who played her double. And I was like, this should have been all over the papers. They're the same person.
Wait, can we go? Have you dated comics? Sorry to go back to that.
Oh, no, we don't. You don't have to be sorry. Improvisers. I've hooked up with improvisers, dated improvisers.
Yeah.
But never stand up. Stand ups are, I think, more narcissistic than an improviser.
Interesting.
Because, and I think it's because they're alone on stage. So like they don't need any help
and I don't want to share the credit. Yeah.
And it's like, and I can have the hottest girl of any audience. So why would I date a goofy woman?
I agree with you, but I also think there's something, because I'm just obsessed with who becomes an improviser and who becomes a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there's something narcissistic about improvisers too, because they're like, I don't need to prepare. I don't need to write anything down. Mm-hmm. I'm such a genius. It'll just come to me for 2 hours.
But there's usually, you're usually not improvising alone.
That's right.
At least one other person, two, three other people. So it's like you're semi-dependent on other people. But a stand-up is fully by himself.
Yeah, that's right.
But then also improvisers, they get to fuck they students and people in the audience.
Yucko.
It's men in comedy truly have it very easy, I think. It's easy to fail up, to be semi-mediocre, and you get to just fuck everybody.
Yeah, I do feel like, though, I feel like it used to be rock stars
that had that kind of life, right? Musicians, like in my day, it was musicians that could be heinous and they would get all the beautiful models just because they could, like, you know, sing. And then I feel like comics are kind of the new rock stars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Whenever I see a comic with a beautiful woman, I'm like, what is wrong with her?
Because I think, well, but I think that most girls are like, well, at least he's not a magician. I always, musician, but that too. At least he's not a magician.
Well, at least he's not a magician.
But
know.
I do think comics are particularly insidious in a way. And I do know on some level that we have narcissistic qualities, but the majority of comedians I know are wildly insecure. You know, and they go on stage and they talk about their insecurities a lot, which is a very narcissistic thing to do. But I think there is a little bit of a beguiling thing that happens where you're like, well, he's so insecure and he's so broken. And all he does is talk about how he can't get girls. And all he talks.
I would date him. So, like, I guess I'll date him.
Yeah, there's a little bit of this like thing going around that male comics are like the nerds still. And that they're safer or something. But yeah, I just don't like to shit where I eat.
Yeah, I think because I don't do as much improv anymore. But for like, there was a time when I was in New York where I was like, oh boy, go to any old show and there'll be at least three people I've hooked up with at this show.
Yeah, yes, and.
And that's.
But I do think if I'm going to just be like, there are a lot of comedians who are in stable relationships with women, have been married. Like, we just don't see them out and they're not Gaffigan and Jeff Dunham. And there are guys in the blue collar, like there are guys that are married. We just don't see them out chasing snatches. Is that what they say? Chasing snatch? Chasing
don't
strange?
Go chasing snatches. Snatch. Has Robot Whitney ever watched you have sex?
She has never watched me have sex. I don't think I've had sex since I got her because she's such a full-time job. No, she sits in the living room as of right now, and I don't fornicate in my living room because it's the most expensive carpet in my home. No, she doesn't do much of anything but just suck money out of my wallet, but she's getting eyeballs that are going to be cameras soon.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So she's going to see a lot of shit she shouldn't see.
This is so crazy. So your robot is evolving as robotic technology evolves?
Yes. It was the kind of thing where I was like, I kind of did it as like a joke. I didn't even think it was going to work out well because I was really trying to get a solid bulletproof argument on the sex robots for the last special. I talked about them for like 40 minutes. And I was like, you know what? This could be like irresponsible. Like, I don't know if... What if pedophiles are buying the... I don't know what's going on. Is this incel thing? So I went down to the sex robot factory and I was so...
That's
like...
just a really funny sentence. It's in I went down to the sex robot
factory. That's the kind of time I have. It's in San Marcos, California. It's near San Diego. And I wanted to really see what was going on and ask questions. And honestly, I was wrong about everything. I made so many presumptions. A lot of people that buy these sex robots, these men, a lot of them are handicapped. A lot of them have erectile dysfunction. A lot of them are autistic and they say they can't flirt with women and they're awkward and they don't want to be rejected. It's a lot of people exploring their sexuality. A lot of men buy the male sex robot to kind of see if that's what they're into. A lot of women buy the female sex. Like, and these are sex dolls. The robots are pretty rare now, but the sex dolls. I found out the number one complaint men have about the sex dolls. What would you guess?
Not soft enough?
Too thin.
Huh?
We want full-bodied ones. I know. We want full-bodied, but the technology's not available yet because a lot of people that have them are handicapped. I mean, you know, I think they're like 120 pounds, the one I have. So they're trying to get the silicone to be lightweight enough. So
to make them bigger.
To have giant butts and giant, big thighs. That's everyone's complaint. Second biggest complaint?
Too small feet.
Nipples too small.
Oh.
They want oblong nipples. The number one request are nipples that are like as big as the boob, I guess, is a big thing.
Oh.
Which I looked a little bit into that, and I think that they're dark nipples, there's something about breastfeeding, that's how you look for the nipples darken during breastfeeding. So there is some biological basis
for this. This is very... very wild information to be consuming.
Trust me, on a Sunday.
You're like, Oh, every man wants a thin woman.
Well, that's
oh,
not...
I better get my titties, you know, just right and perky and rosy. And then they're like, no, we want full bodied. It's very, it's
in
very
LA,
confusing.
In LA, we're in an echo chamber. And then half of the men not only requested pubic hair, but they spent an extra $1,400 to get pubic hair. Guys don't want these bald, skinny, tiny nippled things.
It's very confusing because
it's white women that run magazines that want that. It's gay men that run magazines. What are we doing? It's not true.
Yeah, I do groom, but I don't shave it my vagina bare.
Yeah.
And the first time I slept with someone when there was like hair there, there was no complaint. And I was like, huh, then why have I been shaving the whole thing this whole time?
Any guy who's like, never mind. It's never happened.
No, it's never happened. I doubt it ever will happen.
I talk to my gynecologist every time I go. I always am like, what's the new thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you like slip me some information on what's going on out there in the streets? And she said, women are coming in that had lasered, over-lasered, because that was big. I mean, I over-lasered.
Mm-hmm.
And men want pubes now. It's back. And women are coming in and getting pubic plugs.
Whoa!
Because they now... And also, something that my gynecologist said that was, like, too real. She was like, as you get older, you want some hair there. Like, things change and you don't want all that shit exposed.
Just out.
Yeah, hair is maybe good. But yeah, I had over-lasered and now I just have weird little, like, random...
Patches.
Little bushels. Who's the guy from The Simpsons with the two hairs?
I don't know. I've only ever seen an episode of The Simpsons where my voice was in it, which is...
That's the only one you've ever seen?
It's a very insane thing to admit. I haven't seen anything that people love. I've never seen...
What do you watch?
A lot of trashy TV. Like, yep. I really love 90 Day Fiancé.
Okay.
I really love RuPaul's Drag Race, which I don't think is trashy. I love
the
it.
Best.
And then I like to rewatch things, and I rewatch movies over and over again.
Really? That's interesting.
I'm a person who, like, takes pretty calculated risks now in my older age, but I'm also a person who really loves routine, which is insane because my life is so not a routine.
Well, that's probably why you like it when you can
Maybe.
Control it.
And it's like touring is a routine now. It's like I wake up at 5 a.m.
No,
I get on a plane.
No, but it's always different. And the plane's late and the thing and the logistics and the 90 nightmares and the heckle lady. Wait, so that's so interesting. I don't watch a lot of TV either, especially that everybody's watching because it feels like pressure to me.
Yes.
It feels like homework.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, when everyone's talking about it, I'm like, well, now I don't want to watch it.
Yes.
Because I can't enjoy it because all I'm doing is going like, well, this isn't what as good as everyone said. Like, I can't even enjoy it. So I just started Succession. Like, I just.
People keep saying Succession is really great. My roommate, John Milheiser, keeps talking about how wonderful it is. So I feel like eventually I'm going to have to watch it.
It's unbelievably good, but. It's so good. Just watch it at a time where it feels consensual and you can enjoy it.
I think also I get worried that I'm like going to get into something and then run out of time to finish it.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm a perfectionist. Like I have to consume some and I'm an addict. So I want to see all of it at once. I'll stay up till 4 a.m.
Mm. Yeah, I truly just watch the same. I just watch Death Becomes Her for the 1,000th time. Have you ever seen it?
Not only have I seen it and do I love it, but you're maybe the third person to bring it up this week. And it's in the zeitgeist for some reason.
It's a perfect movie. It's perfectly campy in a way where I was like, did they realize how campy this was going to be when they were shooting it? I was like, what were the directorial choices?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. Like Bruce Willis has never been funnier than in that movie.
He's so funny and it's not talked about enough.
No. So, oh, God. And then, I just love it all. The end makes me laugh so hard.
I need to rewatch it. I watched My Stepmother's an Alien recently again. Mm. Kim Basinger,
Kim
is
Basinger?
Unbelievably Basinger? Good in that movie.
I've never seen it.
I don't know why you would have. It'd been weird if you had. I remember as a kid, we had like three Blockbuster movies that we just watched over and over again because we didn't return them and our bill was so high that my dad was like, you can't return these, but these are our movies. We had like four movies. We had National Lampoon's European Vacation, Outrageous Fortune, Bette Midler's incredible in.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's Shelley Long and Bette Midler and they're amazing
gotta
together.
Watch it.
I think Blues Brothers was one of them.
and Three Amigos, which is one of my favorite movies.
Never seen it a thousand times.
I have no idea if that movie holds up. I don't know if it would be
funny.
That's
a Mel Brooks movie?
It's, yeah, and it's, I don't even know, but it's Steve Martin, Martin Short, Chevy Chase.
Okay.
Chevy Chase is unbelievable in it.
Gotta watch it.
Yeah.
People have talked about that. My sister likes that movie. My sister's seen so much.
I know Three Amigos backwards, forwards. I tried to make the female version, but the rights were in Warner Brothers or Universal or something.
Getting the rights to things is very hard.
It's a hassle. Reese Witherspoon, just you do it all and let us know when it comes out. She seems to know how to do it.
My favorite movies growing up are movies that nobody has ever seen.
Tell me.
Eddie.
Oh my God. Never, literally never heard of it.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg plays a limo driver who then becomes the head coach of the New York Knicks.
Ghost is one of my favorite movies.
Ghost?
Whoopi was a
perfect
movie star.
Perfect. I love
her. Have you seen the video of her farting on The View when Claire Danes was on?
I don't think so.
It's my favorite piece of television ever. She farts on The View. Uh-huh. Claire Danes is like talking about 9/11 in The Americans. And Whoopi just goes, sorry. Which is so great because there's that scene in Ghost where Patrick Swayze as a ghost is like hovering around her at some office and she's like gas. It's just gas. Remember that?
It's just a little bit of gas. It's when she's in the bank and he sees Demi. He knocks the papers over. She's still talking and he like pokes her and she goes, oh, it's just some gas.
Just some gas.
It makes me laugh.
Her and Patrick Swayze to get together.
Me too. But Patrick Swayze was very loyal to his wife that he was with until he died.
Yeah, that's right.
R.I.P. Patrick Swayze. How old were you when you got your first boyfriend?
I mean, what define boyfriend? Like real?
Well, what is not real? Is that like...
I remember when I was in summer camp in Virginia, I had a boyfriend. I mean, I thought he was a boyfriend named David and we kissed underwater at like the Y. But you know when you like had a boyfriend, but like you didn't talk to them?
Yeah, you were like, I'm dating Timmy. And you're like...
that person's my boyfriend. And you'd see them like once a day for 10 minutes and maybe like kiss in the woods and then not ever see, you know, so I don't know if that counts. Then I guess by the time I was in school in Virginia, I definitely had like boyfriends. So 12, 13?
Dang, so young.
Yeah, not good. Time's up on that. And then I didn't really have boyfriends. But you know, I don't know what it even meant. Like you'd hook up with someone and then like you go to prom with them. Like you didn't really have a choice in high school because you can't get away from them. So it's the kind of thing where you're kind of like, if this person likes me, I guess I have to like you back. And I don't know how to say no because I'm a teenager. And like, you know what I mean? And then no one else will ask you out if that person likes you because then they don't want to get, you know what I mean? What a nightmare.
Yeah. I never dated anyone. I've never like dated anyone, but school was very, very much like, this probably will never happen.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends was dating a boy who lived across the street from her. And it was always so weird when I would like take her bus to her house and they would hold hands till they got right in front of their homes and then part ways and then like maybe talk on the phone later.
We would. That's what it was. You would talk on the phone for like 3 hours with somebody and then my mom would be like, get off. Like, you know, remember when there were landlines?
Uh-huh.
I also think that most of my life as a teenager into 20s was like pining for people.
Yes.
I was in love with people that didn't love me back or were too popular, but that I was kind of with someone that like I didn't really want to be with in love with someone else.
Yeah. I think it was sixth or seventh grade was in love with an eighth grader. His name was Mark D'Angelilio.
Hey, Mark.
And he was perfect and tall and blonde. And he truly looked like a member of Hitler's youth.
I was going to say.
And I wanted it.
Yeah.
And then he truly was like, no, I think he had a girlfriend or something. But for Valentine's Day every year, you could send someone a carnation. And white meant friendship, pink meant interested, and red meant love. And he sent me a pink one. And I kept that carnation for years.
So what happened?
Oh, he graduated.
Pink meant love?
Yeah. Well, pink meant interested, but nothing ever happened.
Have you looked him up? Is he on Instagram?
I don't know if he's on Instagram.
The other day, have you ever had hard kombucha?
No, I've never had kombucha.
It's like beer, basically. And I don't really drink beer. And I'm trying not to drink hard liquor. And wine makes me silly. More dyslexic than I already am. So I've gotten into hard kombucha And it makes me at 2 a.m. start looking up people from my past on Instagram. And last night I started Googling people that I had crushes on in high school and found a lot of them.
I don't even know how to spell his last name.
A lot of people, by the way, I'm watching her now look, scroll with her phone that says, what does it say? Her pink,
book.
Her phone just says book with wings on the side.
Yeah. The brand is Skinny Dip. I contacted the company to be like, can you please make a new one of these cases? Cause mine is getting all crunched up and eaten up. And they said, no.
And then, find him, see what he's up to. It was actually kind of interesting because I needed closure. I was surprised at how much closure I needed from the guys I had crushes on in high school. And I was looking them up and I was kind of like him and his wife and his kids and everyone, everyone I had a crush on in high school now is a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch. Good for you guys, I guess. And I like looked them up and I'm like, they don't look that happy. I like felt better.
I don't have a Facebook anymore, but when I did.
I only do the fan page.
I don't even know my password to get in anymore.
You have to get someone else to do that.
Mm-hmm. I gotta do a lot of things.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Having a social media presence is a job.
Full-time
in itself,
job. That's right.
And it's very exhausting.
You're very good at it.
I try.
But it's like there's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, engaging in the. I had to hire a company to like do it.
Ooh.
To help. Yeah. It's fortune.
That's great.
That's crazy.
Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. But I would just get so not depressed, but everybody I went to high school with, every single person seems to be married and with like two, maybe
for
three
now.
Kids.
For now.
But then it's not like a jealousy thing. Yeah. I just look at it and I'm like, why do you want this?
I mean, I just think we have a different path. And honestly, I think it's easy for us to go like, you're married. Most people never get the kind of attention. Like, you know, for people to get married, that's like one stand-up show for us. A bunch of people looking at them being like, cool, you did it.
Oh,
we get that
so
every single night.
Interesting to think about. Yeah. Like a lot of people have like, two or three moments in their lives that I get to experience like 50 times a year.
Yeah, and we complain about it. We're like, oh, some lady yelled at me. Like, that's everyone's dream is to do what we do.
Yes.
So I do find myself when I have to go to a wedding, I'm just like, oh, what is wrong with these people? And then I'm like, okay, what people want to get attention from 100 people once in their lifetime. Yep. Is that so hard on us?
Also, it's funny, for a wedding to get attention, you have to pay for the attention.
That's correct.
We get paid
totally
for attention.
Totally. I think sometimes we forget. Ugh. Like, so for us, I think it's just I'm not saying we're spoiled. We have our own set of sort of cards we're dealt of like the price that we pay for doing the job that we do. And it can be really lonely. It can be really isolating. It can be a lot of tricky, tricky things and emotionally destabilizing and stuff. But I do think it's hard for us to relate to someone who's not a comedian, who's like just trying to get someone to clap for them once. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, why would you want to put makeup on your off day?
Yeah.
Why would you want to get photos taken of us too much, right?
Far too much.
Yeah. We're like, oh God, I have to go perform for another 5,000 people tonight that love me.
Yeah. It is funny, but then it's, I have to remember, I'm like, these feelings are valid because it is my job.
That's correct.
So any job that you would, like nobody loves a job top to bottom, no problems. So like sometimes I'm like, oh, Nicole, you can't be upset right now in the moment, just perform. Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm allowed to have feelings.
You can be whatever you want.
I'm allowed to not want to engage. I'm allowed to want to engage. I'm allowed to make whatever choice I want make. I had a question
but
in my brain.
But that does help me though when I look at people in their weddings and I'm like, oh, right, that's just like, you know, I should be so lucky.
Have you, you've never been on an app, have you? Like a dating app?
Are you loco? I beg your pardon? We are strangers. I was on Tinder. Like, I'm not saying it was as a joke. I went on a date with a guy on Tinder, like full stop, real date. But it was a little, I kind of got on it to write jokes. This was like before Bumble. I got on Raya. I met someone on Raya. But that one's a jungle.
Yeah, that one's bad.
That one's nasty.
I don't like that one at
It's
all.
Nasty.
Uh-huh.
John Cusack calling you out. I don't give a shit anymore. John Cusack's on there. Jeremy Piven's on there. You don't want to be on there. It's like every man we've been trying to avoid in this city for the past 15 years. You fucking tools. John Cusack's cover photo is the Damien Hirst diamond skull.
Oh.
Fuck out of here. Ben Affleck is on there. That was in the news. He met someone. I see a lot of my married friends on there.
Oh.
I got on it kind of because who told me? I don't want to blow up the spot of who told me, but I guess a couple people I knew were on there. And yeah, it's a lot of, it's a eugenics program.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a bunch of people that would find other hot people anyway, all in one place. It's all models, female models and male photographers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do you guys have such a hard time finding each other before this fucking app?
Well, it just makes it easier to book a shoot in Venice.
Like, what is this? And most of the guys on there sent me resumes, not even joking. It's like, It's Instagram 2.0. It's like girls doing yoga on rocks and bikinis and capri. It's a lot of women that are just like, why is everyone on a boat? Does anyone have a job?
It's very confusing. And then you get to pick music and it's like an old MySpace page.
Yeah. I have had so many friends not get on it.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, I can't say her name, but a girlfriend of mine got rejected from it. And she asked like, why? And they were like, you had too many photos of babies on your Instagram, like her niece. She's like,
that's
wild. I know someone that knows someone that was on the board of approvals. And it is it's like getting into an Ivy League. There's no rhyme or reason.
I
whatsoever.
Was waitlisted for 2 years.
Yeah, I remember you talking about this.
Which was very annoying. But then I got on it and was like, oh, this is bad. I don't want to be here.
What? Any good?
I went on one date with a man who sent me a script.
Yeah, that but here's what I'll say. This is what I like about it. The women on there are super successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get on it as a woman, you have to be hot and super successful and famous. And then as a guy, you just have to wear V-necks
and
have a man bun.
That's just the state of the world.
Yeah. It just sort of is like you have to be twice as interesting to be a woman to get on there. I know lots of really successful, famous women on there and then tons of like fuck boys.
Like just disgusting
and like Matthew
men.
Perry. Yeah.
Matthew Perry.
It's lots of famous guys that could get women whenever they wanted.
Yeah. And it's like, why do you have to be on? Well, I guess if I was a super famous guy, maybe meeting a woman would just be easier on an app. So you're just like, oh, okay, I can like vet you before I meet you.
Yeah, I like that. I do like the relationship I got in off there. I actually like texting with someone before I meet them. I know everyone hates that. I'm the opposite because for me.
Well, how long do you text the person before you meet them?
Well, he was in New York. I love starting long distance because I'm such an addict that if I meet someone and the neurochemicals take over, I end up being in a bad relationship for 2 years just because of like lust and shit. Like I really I'm at a point where I'm so tired that I would really like to get to know somebody and like vet some red flags before jumping in to giving someone a bunch of my time and energy. So I'm big on texting for a while. I know everyone hates that.
I think it creates a false sense of intimacy.
It does.
I know for me, because I create a full-blown narrative where I'm like, oh my God, he answers quickly and promptly and like he uses emojis. He's in love with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you haven't even met. You don't know how you're going to even mesh together. But then also starting long distance, I feel like is good, specifically because like being on the road so much, you kind of are in a long distance relationship.
That's right.
Even though you might live with the person.
Yeah.
Because if you're gone, like lately this year, I've been gone like 3 to 4 days out of the week.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So much time.
That's correct. You're right.
And then when I'm here, I'm working. So then you only truly have a window to see me for like 3 hours, two to three times a week.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, I agree with you. I think for me, like responding too fast and that to me is always a red flag. That's always like, if you're doing this with me, you're doing this with 9 other girls. Like this is not real. So for me, it's always a guy that we can engage and then be like, let's hop on the phone. Let's FaceTime for an hour. Let's talk for an hour, you know? So it's like a nice way to kind of see if I'm dealing with someone who's an adult or someone who's just like texting with 9 girls. I know this is probably judgy, but emojis are a red flag for me.
Really?
I know this is judgy,
But it just say what you're going to say and pick up the phone. I don't text. It's like, let's have a phone conversation. And
I think that's good. I think phone conversations are good because you can hear the tone.
Yes, that's right.
I think tones are very
important.
Tone
isn't always construed in text.
Mm-hmm. But I like an emoji. It feels like you're being playful with me.
I know. I have to be really cut and dry about shit because I know what beguiles me into thinking I'm closer to someone than mm-hmm. I am. And I really want to be in a relationship with an adult. And not Fair. That emojis aren't adult,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if it's just like kissy face, I'm like, that's it's just confusing communication uh-huh. to me because I get easily confused. So if it's like, how are you, kissy face? I'm like, wait. Or the eyes with the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I wasted like 8 months in a relationship. It wasn't a relationship. I thought it was because uh-huh. the guy kept sending me the heart, the emoji with the heart eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that means I have like love for you.
Ah, okay.
But the behavior and the emojis were incongruous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one of the big red flags in love addiction recovery is that someone's words and behavior have to match. And if they don't, you have to leave. So I get too confused by emojis.
I was, we only hooked up once, but we had been talking for like 2 weeks before we hooked up. He kept sending me the purple devil emoji, and I was like, what does this mean?
That's so funny.
What does this mean?
I feel like we've dated some of the same people. I know. I got that too. And then the cat with the heart eyes.
And I'm like, why a cat?
Yeah. I find, because emojis are Rorschach tests, right? We all have different. The lady in the red dancing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's always, you know, something different. So I just, and then the heart, everyone puts kind of the heart. And to press one button takes a second. It's very easy to phone that in and to get more credit than you deserve.
Yes, as opposed to I thought of fully formed sentences to tell you how I feel.
Yes.
As opposed to like, ding.
But to me, I think what happens is like a one heart emoji equals like a 25-minute phone call in my head. So
yeah.
I get this sort of like, I just get very confused. So I will just be like, hey, want to hop on the phone? And if we don't communicate over phone
mm-hmm.
or FaceTime at some point, then it's just like, all right, this is.
I feel like it's very old school talking on the phone. There's truly only like 3 people in my life who I speak to on the phone.
I'm very old school like that because I'm terrified to put things in writing, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's just that it becomes, I mean, literally phoning it in. Like texting is very easy and mm-hmm. I can hide. I want to hide.
Mm.
And if I can make time to talk to someone on the phone, that means I like them.
Because
I think sometimes we don't stop to think, do I even like this person?
Oh.
Or do I like the idea of this person?
I'm of the school where I think I'm more into the idea of someone mm-hmm. than actually liking the person.
That's right. Me too.
Because the older I get, the more I'm like, there's actually very few people in this world who I genuinely like.
Most people are duds.
Yes. Very bad. I went to dinner with a friend and his friend, and his friend was such a dud. I was like, I find you interesting. Yeah. How are you friends with this thing? Who truly never said one interesting thing. And then he would say things that he thought were jokes and then he would laugh at his own joke. And I was like, ah, thank you for this very cool indication that that was a joke and I should chuckle as well. But it was almost exhausting having to be with him for like an hour and a half.
And I also think, and sorry to keep coming back to this, I think that like we are comics. We're around mm-hmm. people that are very emotionally intelligent and know how to read a room and refuse to bomb.
Yes.
Like, we're around people that are just like scientifically the least dud people because they get paid to talk and they mm-hmm. know if something's lagging. Like I will never bomb a conversation. Like I will never, no one will ever walk away. They'll go, that was a lot.
Yes.
Or wow, she's always on. Mm-hmm. Or they'll have some feedback maybe that's not great, but it's never going to be, well, she was boring.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
I can't remember who I was talking to. But I was like, people have very strong feelings about me. No one's middle of the road about me.
Really?
They either very much like me or they very much hate me.
Where do you get the second part?
Oh, people like to send me Reddit's a message board. They'll send me Reddit threads of people being shitty to me.
Yeah.
People love to send me people being shitty about me.
Who are the, like friends or like?
No.
Oh, like
people on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like on Twitter, they'll tweet like a link to me. Or people love to at me in a tweet to tell me that they don't like me. And I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me very much. I usually...
It's just in our day, if you didn't like someone, you just didn't you fuck with them.
Quiet.
You just were like, didn't just watch didn't, them. You didn't write yeah. about them. You were just like, you just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, I didn't like Melrose Place as a kid. I liked 90210, mm-hmm. but I didn't watch, I didn't like talk about it.
You
I
didn't
just turned
send
off
a
the
letter
TV.
To each cast member I to let not. Them know that you hated them.
I did not. Well, try to hurt them.
Whitney, I don't know. What's wrong with you?
I wasn't mad at them. I didn't try to upset them or ruin their day. I just turned, I pressed one mm-hmm. button and I moved on to something else I liked.
Yeah. And whenever people tweet about hating a show or something, I'm like, don't you know how many people were involved in trying to make it? And not mm-hmm. one of those people was like, let's try to create something that people hate.
Yeah. No one shows like, up trying to. But also it's just wild to me when somebody hates something that a lot of people like, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, well. Fine.
I think a lot of times people are just trying to be a contrarian.
Yeah, and I think people get the self-righteous indignation and hating something or disliking something, it does fire off dopamine, mm-hmm. unfortunately, and adrenaline.
I mean, I've started watching the Star Wars movies because I'm doing a podcast with my friend Lauren Lapkus about watching
I
them.
I love Lauren.
Isn't she the best?
Yes.
I truly adore her. And
effervescent breath of fresh air.
Right? I love her. But watching them has been a real treat because... I didn't think I was going to like them, and I don't. And I was like, not everything is for everybody.
Yeah,
but we are critiquing them and talking about them. And I really like the new ones more than the old ones, which is no one's opinion.
I don't like so many things that have statistically been proven to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to get so much shit for this. I can't believe I don't like New York. And like, I don't get it. It's so wildly expensive uh-huh. to me. There's urine
everywhere.
Every time I'm there, I get hurt. Every time you sit down, it's $100 cat. Like,
uh-huh.
it's so, I rented a place there for a year. I was dying to live there. I was like, I got to figure the city out. If I just figure out the metro, mm-hmm. If I just get a place here. I like going there when it's like for press and I'm in yeah. a hotel. Like,
you get a car service yeah. and it's easy.
Yes, but I just was like, I'm not strong enough for the city. Everything is so hard.
Uh-huh.
You can't wear the shoes you want to wear. You can't wear lip gloss. And then your hair stuck in your, it's just like, everything is so hard in that city for me
How
personally.
How old were you when you lived in New York for a year?
2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, you're too old.
Well, that's the thing. I was too old and I went a lot when I was younger and was like crashing on people's sofas mm-hmm. and stuff. But then I was like, I know this is the greatest city in the world. The smartest people I know love it.
Mm-hmm.
I must be wrong. I just haven't done it right. I finally have money. Mm-hmm. Why don't I go live in New York? Finally. And I just was like, why? I was spending more money on an apartment there than my mortgage here. Every time I turned on the bath, effluvium from the toilet would come out and it would smell like sewage. And so I called a plumber and they came up and I was like, hey, so when I turn the bath on, the most relaxing thing mm-hmm. I can think of a bath, the best time of my day, it smells like everyone's buttholes mm-hmm. from New York, all the buttholes. And he literally came up and he's like, well, it's New York. Like the idea of fixing the toilet wasn't even on the table. He looked at me like, uh-huh. well, it's New York. You just, mm-hmm. you smell buttholes all yeah. the time. What do you think this is?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an elevator in the apartment, like in each apartment. And people would get out on my floor while I was in bed all the time. It was crazy. People, like drunk people, would just walk into my apartment while I was sleeping. And then at 4 a.m., like I would hear women screaming. And I'd just be like, do I go help these women? Uh-huh. Are they in trouble? And people would like, it's New York. And I just yeah. was always in a state of fear and panic for other people's safety.
Yeah. I lived there from... like 17, maybe 18 to 25, 26. And when you're like 18, you're just like, yeah, I can
it's the
live
best
like
place in the world.
A
yeah.
wild animal and never sleep. And
yeah.
My apartment shakes because I'm next to the train.
Yeah.
And it's a 6-floor walk up and we'll never lock our doors because who's coming up here?
Yeah.
And then like the older you get, the more you're like, oh, okay, I don't have to live like a rabbit possum. I could have my own room and we can live yeah. maybe further uptown.
I don't have to put my sweaters in an oven.
Yeah. The older you get, the better you tend to live in New York. But you kind of have to eat shit first. It's kind of like doing
you have
comedy.
To be very rich.
Got to eat shit first.
Yeah.
And then And then also, I lived with a bunch of roommates, so I never paid more than $500 in rent.
What?
But I had a ton of roommates.
I think LA is by no means reasonable in terms of real estate, but once you get a yard and you get land, you're like, how do I go back to this shoebox life?
It's
like
never.
Once you fly first class, it's hard to go back.
Uh-huh.
So I'm too weak. I'm not strong enough. New York makes me feel like have failed.
It is a really tough city.
And it makes me feel like I am a masochist. It makes me feel bad and like a speck of dust that nobody cares about. It makes me feel like I'm not special because I'm not, you know, but at least when you have a yard, you have this illusion. Mm-hmm. You can maintain
that life is good.
Yeah, that life is easy. I love going to New York when I need to like finish something, like take a couple Adderall, go to a hotel and like finish a book or like a script or something. It makes you feel super adrenalized and alive. But I was like, I think I'm hurting myself here.
Yeah. I'll always love New York. It has a very special place in my heart and it does feel like home. Every time I go back, I go, if I ever quit, I would just move back to New York.
Yeah.
I'd live in a cute little apartment and just be one with all the people.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if I had $100 million, I would live there.
It also is so much nicer if you have so much money.
Yeah. Like I think that because I grew up without money, it makes me nuts when things are too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And New York, like it just feels like literally just like a bad deal.
I paid $6 for water at LaGuardia yesterday or 2 days ago.
Wrong. It was morally wrong.
Upsetting.
I refuse.
And that's why I like the Portland airport because they don't charge you on anything. It's the same price outside as it is inside the airport. I was like, why aren't all airports like this?
Yeah.
Anyway, Whitney, we've come to the end. And I ask all of my guests this. Would you date me?
Yes, I would date you.
Oh, yay!
Has anyone ever said no?
Of course.
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have.
Ew.
There's been a lot of people, but a lot of it was like, you have too much energy. I don't think I could keep up with you, which is, to me, a compliment.
But you're performing. I mean, you're not like this all the time.
Nah, I mean,
you are?
I terrorize my roommate. I'm always screaming. I'm sure my neighbors are like, I don't know what this woman does. It's quiet for 3 days and then just so loud the rest of the week. I don't know what's happening.
We should interview
screaming.
Your neighbor. What do you think's happening next door?
Yeah, it'd be like, I don't know. Also, the kids of the neighborhood, I feel like James Earl Jones sometimes because they'll like, fly a drone into my backyard and I'll be like, what do you want? And most of the time I'm not wearing a wig and I'm like bald headed and screaming at children.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question. I know we're going to end this because I feel like we're going to be friends at some point, but we only hang out on podcasts. So we've had no time to actually get to know each other IRL. Is your roommate, what's his name?
John Millhiser.
John Millhiser. Right. Got it.
He'll be so excited to hear his name.
He's the one that
twice.
Says you have to say his name, right?
Uh-huh.
John Millhiser.
John Millhiser. John Millhiser. Who I live with. John Millhiser.
John Millhiser. John boy. John. Is this good enough for you?
He's going to be thrilled.
John. He
so
doesn't
thrilled.
Listen. Let's be honest.
No, he does.
You think so?
Every now and again, I'll like walk in the kitchen. He'll be like, why did you say this? I'm like, say what?
So living with you is not enough, you? When you're on the
Which
road,
is
he just
insane.
Listens to you?
Same. Well, we are rather close in a very strange way.
Yeah.
He's like my family. He's like my husband that I just don't fuck.
Was this a New York friend?
We did sketch comedy together in New York at the UCB Theater. And then he moved out to LA. And then I was like, oh, I think I'm going to move too. And then I slept on another girl's couch. And then he had an apartment. So then him, my friend Allison Rich, and I, the three of us lived in a two-bedroom where she slept on the couch and It was for the time, great.
It was what it was.
Yeah, but I could never do that again.
The good news is you're ready for the apocalypse.
You need
to live with six people.
I'm
you
ready.
Can do it.
I could do it if the purge happened. I could keep us all safe. Whitney, do you have anything you want to promote?
I mean, besides my shame, I have a podcast too, and Nicole's on
it. Yes.
Nicole's going to be on
it. Tell them the name of it.
It's called Good For You.
Also, tell them the name of your Netflix special.
It's called Can I Touch It?
Yes!
We did it. And I'm touring next year, but I haven't pulled it together yet.
Do you have a website?
I do.
What is it?
NicoleBeyer.com. Reroutes then, to mine now.
Honestly, if you went to NicoleBeyer.com, you would arrive at an artist from Chicago.
Shut up.
Tried to get me to pay $10,000 for the domain.
That's illegal. You can't do that anymore. Well, is her name Nicole Beyer?
What?
That's illegal.
Well, her name technically is, but then via our email conversations, a person who's friends with her accidentally forwarded me her airline ticket for somewhere they were going together, and Nicole is not her government name.
That's illegal. She can't do that.
Well, who do I talk to?
A lawyer. They can't. Oh. You can't do that anymore.
Well,
you can't squat on people's domains.
Maybe I'll get NicoleBeyer.com. Right now, my domain is NicoleBeyerWasTaken.com, which makes it sound like I was either kidnapped, but it was just the domain was gone.
Yeah, no, you can't do that anymore. So remember in the beginning when all the domains happened, that guy bought Coca-Cola.com, VidalSassoon.com, and he made all this money selling the domains to those big brands. Mm. And so they passed all these laws that you can't. So that happened to me. Someone bought WhitneyCummings.com.net.edu, mm-hmm. all that shit. And then, she can't do that.
Oh,
it's also
boy.
Such a weird amount of money that she asked for.
Well, first it was $20,000, and then I said, U.S. dollars? And she said, yes.
No,
and then it went down to $10,000.
This is not okay.
And I was like, I can't.
It's illegal.
That's so much money.
You have a lawyer?
I have an entertainment lawyer.
Yeah. Get them on this. This is what you pay them for.
Oh.
To do this.
Huh.
You send a cease and desist. It's illegal.
Okay.
You can't exploit comedians. You can't take people's names, you fucking monsters.
Well,
fuck
it was just
you.
So confusing that she thought I had $10,000 laying around to
This makes me that's the cheapest form of stealing. That is fucking stealing. We're comedians. We give up our lives to make people laugh. Fuck you, Nicole Beyer.
She's not nice.
That's not even her name.
No, it's not.
I can't, I will handle this. Give me, CC me on this email. I will go apeshit.
All right.
We're doing, like, our lives are a nightmare. Why are you adding?
Yeah, I also don't mind that my domain is NicoleBeyerWasTaken.com.
I do like that. It's funny.
I think it's silly.
I think it's funny, but you should have both. It's a business.
Yeah. Well,
just don't be a .net, whatever you do.
It was a .net, and then I changed it to NicoleBeyerWasTaken.com.
Yeah, .net is
because it was NicoleBeyer.net, and I was like, ew.
No,
it just doesn't sound good.
I'd rather you be like
sounds
a
cheap or weird.
Gov.
But if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can subscribe. You can rate it 5 stars. You can leave me a review. Also, if you send me something nasty to hit on me, I'll read it. So this one says, I want you to ride my face while I lick that sweet, succulent punani. Slurp the creamy juices out of your pussy lips and suck on your pulsing clit before breaking down the walls of your vagina with my big old dick that we'd have to buy together because that's how you really lesbian. Nom, 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 nom on the pussy, baby. I hope you gushed or giggled or both. So I did giggle. And then this person said, I just want to express my interest in your pussy, in particular, my want and need to knit a tiny cardigan sweater out of your pussy's pubic hair. I'm sure it will look absolutely stunning. I would like to delicately place it above your clit and admire my workmanship while also admiring the wonders that is of your beautiful snatch. I hope I wouldn't suffer from ball hair after going down on you. Oh, hair balls. But I guess that's the price you have to pay. It sort of works. So this person wants to make just a tiny pussy hair cardigan and place it above my clit. How strange. Okay. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.